You are listening to a message from ICS Church. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Pastor Topher. Thank you, Pastor Sam. Again, a good morning to each one. If you are here for the first time today or you're visiting us, we welcome you to ICS Church. My name is Chad, one of the pastors here. Always, always a joy for us to have you. Now, it's interesting, here in Metro Manila, we are once again enforcing, although it's not a citywide requirement, we have chosen, as Pastor Topher has said, to suspend temporarily our in-person gathering. Again, this is due to the rise of infections all throughout the country. And so we pray that you are keeping safe where you are. We're grateful for this technology that we can remain connected despite the fact that we are not physically present in the room together. It's as if we're there as well. And so thank you. You know, the worship team that you saw earlier, that was a pre-recorded worship session that we had a few weeks ago. Grateful for the team that is in the room, though. There's about 10 of us right now that's in this room helping to get the stream out to each one of us. And so for this, we are grateful today. If I can just speak as a spiritual father over the church today, you know, when it comes to this virus, I think a lot of times we have a tendency to treat it in a lax, nonchalant way because we can't see it, or maybe it hasn't affected us. We feel that, you know, it is something that is may not even be real. But it's as real as the person that is beside you right now. And so we should treat this threat like it is. Last night, you know, saw another friend pass away and die because of COVID-19. And this is really sad that people that we know of, even in this community, are starting to directly get affected by this virus. So let's please follow health and safety protocols. Don't just read about it, but actually do it where you are. The latest update I saw from the Department of Health is even suggesting that at home, those of us even in the same family should start wearing masks. Now, obviously, these are things that we cannot force people to do, but it is an advisory that the Department of Health is giving. So I encourage you, wherever you are, you know, get updates, find out what's going on, and let's follow health and safety protocols in our barangays, in our cities, and as the government prescribes it. Let's really show love to our neighbors as we love ourselves, love for our families by making an extra effort to put a mask on, to wash our hands, to practice social distancing as much as possible. This virus is just like sin. You know, you can't see it, but it's there. It's going to tempt you, and the moment you succumb to it, the consequences are not that great. But despite these things, I'm grateful that Jesus and the presence of the Holy Spirit is with us. And that's the confidence that we have today, that a God who is faithful, a God who is sovereign, is the same God that is with each one of us to enable us to go through these challenges that we have been facing this past year. God is good. God is faithful. And again, if you're in agreement with this, click the thumbs up, type amen, and go ahead and share this to your loved ones and friends wherever you are. Getting back into the Word today, we are now part 3 in our series called Foreshadow. And the title for today's message is The Message. The Message. You know, how many of you ever have been a situation where you're put into circumstances or a situation that you really don't want to be in, but you do the job anyway because the mission that has been assigned to you is clear. You know what the mission is. You know what the goal is. And so even though it's not the best circumstances, it's not the ideal situation, you get down to business and you do what needs to be done. That's exactly what happened to a guy named Desmond Doss. This guy is a World War II veteran. And when he was deployed in World War II by the U.S. Armed Forces, you know, he didn't want to be in that situation. Why? Because he was a conscientious objector, one of the first ones that the U.S. Armed Forces ever had. He didn't want to carry a gun. He didn't want to shoot another person because that went against his belief as a follower of Jesus Christ. But he went and supported it and, you know, was deployed anyway. Of course, everybody made fun of him. You know, other soldiers made fun of him. It's like, what are you going to do here? You're not carrying a gun. You're not carrying a weapon. What kind of defense will you even have for yourself? But yet, in one of the most fiercest encounters that his platoon, his company ever experienced, on the island of Okinawa, on a place called Hacksaw Ridge, the fighting was so intense that they started losing people left and right. You know, he had people he had known starting to die left and right. He did what he only knew to do, which was to rescue his friends, his fellow soldiers. So one by one, he would go through the front line and find people who were injured, soldiers who were injured, both those in the Allied forces and in the enemy forces, and rescue them one by one. In a span of about 7 to 8 hours through intense firefight, Desmond Doss was able to rescue 75 personnel, and he himself ended up getting injured along the way. You know, he would go on and fight many more battles, but towards the end, because of that very brave and daring attempt of doing what he did, he was awarded for it. He was able to save 75 lives without ever carrying a weapon, without ever killing another human being, because his mission was clear. And he said, you know, I just need to save one more. I just need to save one more. And so when Jesus was here on earth, as we have been talking about in this series, there were some things that started to be made clear to him. At 12 years old, he was at the temple talking with the experts of the law. And he knew that this was his mission. When his parents found him after looking for him for 3 days, he said to them, "Didn't you know that I needed to be about my Father's business?" And yet, because his time for full-time preaching and itinerant ministry had not yet come, at 12 years old, he obeyed his parents and went home with them. And Luke tells us that he grew in wisdom and stature in favor with God and man. But moving on from there, by about the age of 30, as scholars tell us, it was there that Jesus finally went into itinerant ministry of preaching the gospel, talking about the kingdom of God that has come down to earth. There were many challenges that he faced. In fact, when he started preaching in his hometown of Nazareth, they wanted to stone him. They wanted to kill him. And so he left. After he left, he started to encounter other oppositions from people that you wouldn't expect. The experts of the law, those that were supposedly preachers and teachers of the law that God gave to Moses, were starting to oppose Jesus. And yet, in one of these situations, we find Christ boldly declaring the reason why he came. And because he was not deterred from his mission, from his purpose, regardless of the opposition and the challenges that he faced, he was able to successfully complete it all the way to the cross at Calvary. So what was his mission? And I believe today, if our mission is clear to each one of us, this will give clarity to the things that we are doing today, whether it's work, school, relationships at home, whatever it is, It will equip us and teach us to know what to do in our circumstances if our mission is clear. The big idea for today is a clear mission helps define the method. A clear mission helps define the method, or in our case, what we do and how we live our lives. Luke chapter 5 is our passage this morning, beginning with verse 27. It says here, after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. After this, what just happened previous to this? Jesus had been preaching the good news. He's been preaching about the kingdom of God, performing miracles one after another, healing the blind, raising those who were lame, setting free the demoniacs. And this next step, again, it doesn't seem all that great. It's just him meeting a tax collector by the name of Levi. And in this encounter, here's what Jesus says to him. He says, follow me, Jesus said to him, and Levi, or Matthew, got up, left everything, and followed him. Now, it seems like an ordinary, simple encounter between two people, but it's pretty interesting how Levi responded, because it tells us here that Levi got up and left everything. He left everything and followed Jesus. How many of you have made that decision at some point in your life? You know, you met someone, this person offered to you, we don't know what. I mean, Jesus didn't even offer anything to Matthew. He just said, come follow me. And he left everything. Some of us would leave everything if we probably were offered, what, several millions of pesos, you know, to go and be with them. Some of us would probably do that. Or, you know, if we love that person so much and that person said, hey, you know what, we've been delaying this marriage for so long, let's get married today. Let's just do it today. Some of us would probably drop everything, right, and go and marry that person today, minus the expenses and the large celebrations. We would do it right now. We would do that. There was no offer like that from Jesus. All he said was, Matthew, follow me. And it says there, Matthew left everything. Now, what is everything? What is everything for Matthew? Let's learn a little bit more about this guy. In verse 29, it says, then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. Now, you cannot have a large party like this if you didn't have this, if you didn't have money, if you didn't have wealth to spend, maybe a little extra to spend. You wouldn't be able to do this. So this tells us that Matthew was wealthy. Matthew had a lot of money. And because of this, you know, when you have a lot of money, you have a lot of friends. If you have a lot of friends, you have a lot of influence. This was a guy that was loaded, probably because of his job, right? As a tax collector, as a government worker, he was probably loaded because of this. Reading on further, after this, here's the next encounter. We find other people starting to have issue with the party that was happening in Matthew's house. In verse 30, it says here, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples. Whose disciples? Jesus' disciples. And they said, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Whoa. Hold on. They were just having a party. So what's the big deal? It's a bunch of people eating. I don't know, maybe, you know, if you're like some people, you see somebody that you know having a party, you're like, man, maybe they were angry because they weren't invited. Are you one of those people? If you don't get invited to the party, you're like, man, why wasn't I invited? I'm thinking maybe that's the reason what it was. But, you know, to clarify it, that actually isn't. What they said here brings clarity to the reason why they were so upset. Pharisees and teachers of the law, these guys know the law of Moses that the Jews were living out. And their question was, why does your teacher, why do you eat? He says, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? That's actually the issue. Not so much that you're having a party, but the people that you are associating with in this party. Why is this such a big deal? Now, usually, ordinarily, when I have my devotion, you know, I have my quiet time, I look at a passage, and I'm able, more often than not, to, you know, get an understanding or an insight from what is going on. But here, I had to actually do extra research. So what I found out, why this was such a big deal, was first of all, Matthew, we said, was a tax collector. Who was he collecting taxes for? He wasn't collecting taxes for Jews. He wasn't collecting taxes for Israel. He was collecting taxes for the occupying empire that Israel was under. And in this case, it was the Empire of Rome. It was the Roman Empire that Matthew or Levi was collecting taxes for. What does that make you to the rest of Israel? Whenever they saw a tax collector, regardless of who he was, whether he was Matthew or somebody else, this reminded regular Jewish folks that this guy represents the occupying nation, the oppressive Roman Empire that is ruling over us. What makes matters worse is that this guy would usually have soldiers accompanying him. These Jewish tax collectors would have soldiers with them to accompany them so that they could enforce or force Jewish people to pay taxes. And the sad thing is, sometimes scholars tell us some of these guys, probably more often than not, would charge taxes more than they're supposed to pay and would put the extra charges in their own pockets. Which to me explains the reason why Matthew was so wealthy. Because he was overcharging the Jews. Which explains to me why the Pharisees were probably upset with him. Because this guy is considered a traitor to the Jews. He represents the oppressive empire that was occupying Israel. And he was probably charging them more than they should pay. Maybe even some of the disciples, because even fishermen would be taxed for the fish that they caught. I don't know, maybe some of the disciples were probably upset and kind of wondering what is going on right now with Jesus even inviting Matthew to follow him. So you can imagine, if we were to put ourselves in Matthew's shoes, in his perspective, we could probably say that he didn't have a lot of Jewish friends. That's why in the banquet, in the party that he had, who were those that were invited? Other tax collectors. Why? Because Pharisees probably didn't want anything to do with him, right? Experts of the law didn't want anything to do with him. No, you're a traitor. You charge us more. The disciples, Peter, James, John, these fishermen, probably didn't want anything to do with him. Maybe Matthew charged them or overcharged them one time as fishermen. I don't know. I mean, these are all questions that we bring into the text and we ask, that could be a situation that they were facing. That's why it says here very clearly in the banquet, who was there? Tax collectors, obviously, they were all the same feathers, like they say, right? Birds of the same feather flock together. So they're all the same, right? We're all the same. People hate us, so let's stick together. And others, which the Pharisees state as sinners. I mean, Luke doesn't even say they're sinners. The Pharisees are the ones who say. The others that here Luke is talking about, Pharisees have tagged as sinners. Why does your master, Jesus, eat and drink with tax collectors? They have their own category. They're tax collectors. They're traitors to the Jews. And sinners. They're equivalent to sinners. Why does he do this? So this was the main issue. The Pharisees were upset. Jesus, shouldn't you be associating with us? Because we're the ones that's actually in the right. We're the ones that's talking about the goodness of God. All these miracles that you have performed, what you're saying about God, that the kingdom of God is here. Shouldn't you be eating with us and drinking with us instead? I'm guessing that's probably what they were thinking. But instead, Jesus, you're eating with them. They're traitors. They're sinners. Why are you hanging out with those crowds? And what does Jesus say? What does Jesus say in response to this question? Jesus answered them. He said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." Wow. What an appropriate time to be hearing that kind of statement right now, when so many people around the world, millions of people are suffering because of COVID-19. Millions of people are suffering because of political crisis. Millions of people are suffering because of not just the pandemic, but the wars that are raging in their nations and the issues, the political issues that are happening all throughout the world. Jesus says, it's not the healthy that need a doctor. I mean, talk about making an obvious statement, right? And Jesus is one of those, is like the king of making an obvious statement, stating the obvious. But he clarifies what he means by this. And I believe in the Gospel of Luke is actually the mission statement for Jesus. According to Luke, he says here, "I have not come," in verse 32, "to call the righteous, but sinners into repentance." I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners into repentance. I mean, if you think you're good, if you think you're righteous, I didn't come for you. I mean, that's how I receive it. If you think you're good, I didn't come for you. I came for those who actually think and know that they are sinners. Now, if we look at the scene, who's in the audience? We have the disciples that were with Jesus. We have the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. We have the tax collectors, and we have the sinners. But we understand, when it comes to scriptures, that when they talk about sinners, it's not just one group of people, it's everyone. Everyone who has been tainted with sin. I mean, that is how we understand it. Our response to Jesus, whenever we encounter His truth, His teaching, His person, actually reflects whether we consider ourselves as sinners or not, as healthy or sick. And so from this encounter, it would seem that Pharisees and the teachers of the law considered themselves as those that were healthy, as those that were in the right. Why? Because they were pointing out something that they perceived to be wrong that Jesus was doing. So if you come to a stance that says, you know, you're wrong and I'm right, I feel like I am righteous, right? To think that I am in the right is to think that I am righteous. I'm on the right path and you are on the wrong. At the same time, we look at this, and if we say that sinners, those who have broken the law, those who know that they're imperfect, who can we find in the story who fits that description? The only ones that I can see here seems to be the tax collectors and the others that Luke mentions that the Pharisees have also categorized as sinners. Why? Because none of them are hanging out with them, right? People who think that they are righteous, Pharisees, teachers of the law, are not partying with tax collectors and the others that they have branded as sinners. Instead, who do we find socializing, eating, and drinking with them? It's Jesus. So in fact, Jesus is saying, these guys are the sinners. The tax collectors, the others, and the ones that you have mentioned and you have chosen not to associate with, you have chosen to distance yourself from, are the reason, are the people that I came for. Jesus was saying, I'm for the outsider even among the Jews, even among you guys who are supposed to be my own people, my chosen ones. You have chosen to reject some among your members. And I have come for them. I have come for them. It's no wonder that when Jesus called Matthew to follow him, he would leave everything. Why? Because nobody ever wants to associate with Matthew. If you're considered a traitor, nobody wants to associate with you. I'm sure, you know, the Jews, the parents and their kids would say, hey, don't talk to that person. Stay away from that person. That person's a traitor. the gossip, can you imagine, that would go around about tax collectors who were their own citizens as well, have nothing to do with them. It was probably pretty harsh, let alone the Pharisees and the experts of the law. No, they would probably curse at them. They would probably not want anything to do with them. And yet Jesus comes, who's considered a teacher of the law, right now considered a miracle worker. He's just performed these amazing feats of miracles, would come and call Matthew to follow him. Why would Matthew leave everything? Because teachers of the laws and rabbis, again, I had to study this, tells us that, you know, you don't go, and if you're a really good rabbi, you don't go to people and invite them to follow you. No, regular citizens would apply to be their disciple. And if I apply to be a disciple, the rabbi, the expert, would grill you, would examine you to see if you are worthy. And if you're not worthy, he turns his back and he says, you know, may my dust fill you. That means you're not worthy to follow me. But here, the opposite happens. It's unusual because Jesus, the great teacher, the miracle worker, is the one that calls Matthew to follow him instead. Matthew hasn't proven anything, if at all, his testimony is that he's a traitor. He's not worthy. And yet Jesus sees something in him that nobody else does. And when he calls him, of course Matthew's going to leave everything. Nobody has given me anything worthy to look at in my life. Nobody has ever complimented me. Nobody's even wanted to hang out with me that I see to be righteous, let alone holy. And yet here you are, a miracle worker, a great teacher, and you're inviting me to hang out with you. You're inviting me to follow your ways and to learn from you and to be your student. Of course I'm going to leave everything because I want everything that you are offering. Matthew leaves everything and follows him. Our response to Jesus is defined by how we see ourselves. How do you see yourself today? It's very clear that Matthew saw in himself that yes, he had great accomplishments, he had great wealth, but because of Jesus, he found something greater. And that was worth giving everything up for so that he could receive everything that Jesus was. He considered himself imperfect. In fact, Jesus would consider him as somebody that was sick and was in need of help. That's the reason why he calls him and invites him to follow him. How do we see ourselves today? Do we see ourselves as righteous? Or do we see ourselves as somebody that is imperfect? We haven't worked it all out. We haven't figured everything there is to figure out. And so we need somebody. We need a Savior. We need a great teacher to teach us, to disciple us, to show us the way to live. Matthew, despite his great amount of wealth and the friends that he had, realizes this is not really worth anything compared to me knowing Jesus. So of course, I'm going to follow him. Jesus came for the sinner. He came for the outsider. And Matthew didn't know it then, but because of his response to Jesus, he would then begin to reflect Jesus in his life. Through his own sphere of influence and through the wealth that he had received, he would start to reflect Christ and announce Christ to others. How did Matthew do this? Even without learning a single thing about Jesus, he did what he only knew how to do. He held a party. Do you know, everything that God desires to do in our life to reflect him is already within our possession. Jesus has given all that we need right now, but he also calls us to follow him so that he could pour more of himself into us to fulfill the mission and the purpose that he has set for our lives. Matthew didn't know it then, but when he held a banquet, he was in fact creating an opportunity so that he could introduce Jesus to his friends, so that he could reveal Jesus to those who had not yet encountered him. Matthew didn't know it then, but it was the sinners that were with him that needed to know Jesus. He said, you know, I discovered something that I want to share with you. And it was out of his own joy that he ended up revealing Jesus. How are you experiencing Jesus in your life today? Jesus is not standing in the corner somewhere like the Pharisees and saying, you are not perfect enough, you are not good enough, you are not worthy to be my disciple. No, he's not in that stance. Rather, he is the one that is saying, hey, you know what? I know that you're not perfect. I know that you know that you are not worthy. I know that you know that you are an outsider, that you are a sinner, that you are not measuring up to the righteousness and the holiness that I expect. But you know what? I'm calling you anyway. I'm calling you to follow me, because it is only by following me, by learning from me, that you will know how to live life beyond what you already know right now. And some of us need to make that decision and choice today. You may have been blessed with wealth, gifts, talents, skills, beauty, opportunity, but you know, at the end of the day, it's all going to be empty and meaningless if it is not offered to God so that Jesus would be reflected in and through you. Why? Everything that we have came from Him. All that we have came from God. And if we are to reflect God, the best way to do that is to learn from the life of Jesus by fully surrendering to Him and following Him and learning from His ways. That's what happened to Matthew. That's what changed Matthew's life around. That's what happened to Peter and all of these other disciples. They didn't stop being fishermen. Yes, they continued to fish. In fact, when Jesus came later on, after He died and resurrected, what were they doing? They were fishing. When Jesus calls us to follow Him, it doesn't mean that you stop applying your skill, you stop applying your talent, you stop, you know, meeting and socializing with your friends who don't know Him. No, all the more, Jesus is saying, when you do that, when you go to work, when you meet people who don't know me, bring me along with you. Allow me to manifest in your life, because it is there that people will encounter true life, a life that will change them for the better. That's what Matthew did. That's what happened in his life. For Desmond Doss, he was clear on his mission. He said, you know what? I don't have a gun. I don't have a weapon. But I know my mission to save one more. Regardless of the threat, regardless of the danger to my life, even if I lose my life, I need to do this. Just one more. Just one more. Today, you know, this past year, in this pandemic, so many of us have been stretched. We have been challenged so greatly. Our faith, maybe our work, our business. Some of us have lost loved ones. Some of us are going through sickness right now. We need to ask God, instead of complaining, instead of continuing to wonder why, we need just to turn to Jesus and say, Lord God, yeah, I'm going to embrace everything. Your purpose, your mission, your call for me. If your desire, because of what I'm going through, is to reflect you through this season, let it be done. Help me to be faithful through that. The opportunities that I have right now, my network, my social environments, the home that I'm in, let your presence be reflected in me so that your purpose for which you brought me into this world may be fulfilled. The greatest example of fulfilling his mission and purpose was Jesus. Jesus was rejected in his hometown. Jesus was threatened by death from people who we would have expected to be his supporters, the experts of the law, the people who heard about the coming Messiah. But for whatever reason, they missed him. They were so concerned with their own works of righteousness that they missed the righteous one who was present and in their midst. They were so proud about their own accomplishments that they missed what Jesus was wanting to do beyond what they had done. You see, when we surrender everything to Jesus, He gives us clarity of mission and purpose. when we give everything to Him, He allows the gift, the talent that came from Him to be used in ways beyond what we could ask or even imagine, so that God's lights and Jesus Himself would be reflected in our life to save many around us today. That's what He wants to see in the life of the church today, in the life of every believer who chooses to follow Him, and yes, in the life of every sinner who has yet to encounter Him today. If that's you, all you need to do is, in faith and trust, come to Him just like Matthew did. Respond to His invitation. Come, follow me. You don't have to come to a physical location, but right where you are, make a willful decision today in your spirit to say, Jesus, I choose to follow you today. I choose to surrender my skills, my talents, my abilities, my opportunities, my pains, my victories, all that I have, I surrender to you so that your purpose will be fulfilled through me, like it was in Matthew, the disciples, and even in your own life. That was Jesus' mission, and He would fulfill this mission to seek out sinners all the way to the cross. In fact, that's the reason why He died on the cross, to ultimately save those who know that they need saving. Today, let's come to Him. Regardless of what you've gone through this past year, in faith, let's believe in Him, because He has an amazing plan in our life. Heavenly Father, we come to You today, and we're so grateful, Jesus, that You would offer everything, that You would not hold back Your life, so that we who are imperfect, who are outsiders, who are not considered good enough, righteous or perfect, can encounter a perfect God, a perfect Savior, so that in that process, Lord Jesus, we would know how to live fully for You. Help us, Lord, to do that today. Come on, let's just respond to Him in worship and praise before we end this morning.
We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.